Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Good little Wednesday program. Nice day out there.
Yeah. Programming note, Brandon Sprague in. Turns out that Matt Leinart's baby mama, also baby mama of Blake Griffin. Good for her.
Oh.
Yeah. She's a professional mom. Look, if you're going to get pregnant, she got pregnant by Matt Leinart when he was a senior at USC. Not a bad move.
Damn.
And then Blake Griffin when he's in the NBA.
Well, it's good to have different options for different sports.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was about.
Well, the one kid with Matt Leinart is going on and he's playing quarterback or whatever at SMU. Yeah. And she was a basketball player at USC.
I'm guessing Blake Griffin's kid is heading
on a free college scholarship as well.
That's right.
I don't know what the child support payments are on that, but guessing fairly substantial.
Well, is she with Blake Griffin?
No, she's not with either one of them.
Hmm.
Just saying.
What a world.
Yeah. I don't know if she planned any of those, but... if you're going to find out that, oops, I got pregnant, and then you're like, oops, it's with Matt Leinart, and then you're like, oops, it's with Blake Griffin, it's not too shabby. Like, if I found out that I got someone pregnant, and then I found out it was like, I don't know, like Caitlin Clark, and you're like, oh, I'm devastated. Well, maybe not. That
Caitlin Clark is white.
You know, you're like,
we'll execute the baby.
Your baby would be, God,
Buckley. It seems a bit harsh.
Your baby would be white.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, me and her would produce a translucent child from the mountains of Caucasus. It wouldn't be good. That kid would have like no chance in the sun whatsoever. You just have to like dip him in sunscreen.
Well, I will say the incestual sports world is wild.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
like it's
Well, you think about it. Like, if you're a great athlete, wouldn't you want to go find another great athlete to produce great athletes? I chose a tiny Korean lady, and you've seen my children. They're not playing any professional sports.
Ed McCaffrey married a white track star, and he said, our plan is to make really fast white kids, and they have Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, and the other McCaffrey kid's a receiver in Washington.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that way, though? Like, did you think that way when you were...
I picked a 4'11 Asian woman.
Yeah, but did the thought cross your mind? Like, I should... Like, when you're thinking
I need to make sure I have good breeding stock.
I know.
Well, yeah, people do this.
I know it does for some.
And I got to tell you, that is not something that ever crossed my mind.
I think
it's weird that it does to people, but whatever, to each their own. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, did you think about that before you dropped a rock on it?
No, I probably should have, though. I mean, it was, now I have tiny Asian children and people ask me all the time if they're mine. Mistakes were made. No, it never once crossed my mind.
I
did have several O-lineman friends that were 100% about finding a basketball player, a volleyball player, something, because they wanted big, tall, like athletic kids. I personally found that weird. That, and I'm really into Asian gals who tend to not be tall, great athletes. So, you know, it's kind of limited.
I just think it's odd that people think that way. Like, that's their consideration for marrying and, you know.
You know what? This life partner could be the trick to me putting a kid in the NBA.
What if you hate her?
That was the Ball's dad. He did that.
Wait,
he
what? Said,
the Lonzo
Ball's dad?
Yeah, Ball's
the
dad.
The Ball's dad.
The Ball's dad. He said he did that. He said he picked his wife for breeding stock.
Are your balls jiggling? I'm sure that makes her feel great.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they put two kids in the NBA.
Yeah, okay, but who cares?
Well, he
That's
does.
The whole point.
Clearly he cares. That was like his whole
the
mission
whole point
in life.
Is, you know, there's more to life than sports.
It says like, that sounds like a guy that doesn't have a kid in the NBA.
No, I don't.
You don't drive.
And guess what? If I'm stooping, I don't care if I'm stooping Cheryl Swoops. That kid ain't going to the NBA with my DNA.
Yeah, but maybe if you had gotten hitched with Annika Sorenstam, he'd be on the tour.
Think about that. You could be watching your kid win the U.S. Open.
I had my chance with her, too. We had her on the show.
Yeah, we
Remember,
did.
In person.
You're just knocking around the Corn Ferry for a couple years, caddying with your kid.
I'd love to caddy.
Wouldn't that be great?
Think of the choices you could have made.
Yeah. Except you married for love, you dumbass. Way to go. And you married a nurse, and guess what your kid is?
A nurse.
Yeah. Nice play, nurse. Way to go.
Well, that's good. I'm okay with that, but I don't know. Just people are weird.
Not as cool as pro golfer.
Exactly. Not as cool.
Well, I'm going to make meats pick up golf now. I'm like, hey, you're behind. Let's go.
10,000 hours.
Let's
do
see
this.
What you got.
It's like, nice try.
You remember
like,
that
what
guy?
What are we doing?
The 10,000-hour golf guy?
Yeah. Whatever
Dan...
happened. Yeah, whatever to that guy. He set out to be a pro golfer.
He was from Portland. We had him on the show.
Yeah, I don't ever know what happened to him.
Well,
My guess
I think
is he didn't make it.
No, I know what happened to him. Oh. He quit. You know, he was starting... So he was doing the 10,000 hours thing for golf.
Yeah, if you don't know, he had never played golf before, and at some point in his life, he said, I'm going to dedicate myself to putting in 10,000 hours.
Well, he was a business guy, and he didn't like that, and he's like, I want to do the 10,000-hour thing. What am I going to choose? I'm going to choose golf. I've never played golf.
Yeah.
So he literally... dedicated his life to that 10,000 hours and see how good he could get. And this is why golf is really, really hard. He started putting first and then learned, but he learned backwards.
Yeah.
That's how his coach was helping.
All that,
That's how they coach the youth now. They just start really close and then slowly move back.
And he was working his way down to, I think he ended up being like, he was definitely below a 6 handicap.
Yeah.
And he just... Just like all of us in golf, you just kind of get
down,
to that point.
Hit a wall.
Yeah, you're just like, I'm not getting any better.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good,
so
but...
he quit, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't just do that forever, not making any money. Well, he was playing tournaments and doing okay.
So what you're saying is, turns out being a pro golfer, harder than you think.
Well, he was putting the whole 10,000 hours thing to the test.
Yeah, well.
I get that rule of thumb, but golf is a whole different animal.
Yeah, you know what? Being a pro athlete is a whole different
animal. Yeah. I mean, but I get the notion that if you devote 10,000 hours to anything, you'll become an expert or good at it. That there's something to that,
people
to that level.
People ask me like all the time, like, man, why didn't you make it in the NFL? I'm like, because I wasn't good enough. And they're like, but you made it there. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I made it there. And then guess what I found out? There's people there that are way better than me. Way, way better.
You should have said, well, I didn't work hard enough.
Yeah.
I didn't want it bad enough.
I only got 9,800 hours.
No motivation for me. That was the difference.
Turns out sometimes that you can get the most out of yourself, and then it turns out there's someone else. Hey, why did you
still
win
not enough?
Why did you win a gold medal in the Olympics? Yeah, that other dude was faster than me. Well, you should have worked harder. Well, it's not the way it works. Sometimes you just run into Usain Bolt, and it doesn't matter.
Were you not trying or something?
Yeah, I love that.
This is from 2017, so it was a while back. His last name is McLaughlin, Dan McLaughlin. And it says, from The Atlantic, they wrote him up in The Atlantic, and he recently launched, this is in 17, he launched an artisanal soft drink venture.
What?
And he discussed the Dan plan, which was...
Yeah, the golfing, right?
Quitting his job. He was a commercial photographer.
Tell me more about the bevy. What's going on with that?
All right, I'll click on that link if you'd like.
I'd like to point out that, as previously stated, we have gotten to nothing that we intended to.
Beveragemixers.com.
Just saying.
Portland Syrups.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't care about that. Back to the Atlantic.
Yeah.
7+ years ago, age 30 and unsure of which hand to grip a golf club in, he quits his job, covered his mortgage. He took in renters at his house to cover his mortgage, mm-hmm. and he took his savings and spent it on golf. And he set out to make the PGA Tour.
Yeah. That didn't work.
It did not work.
No.
Oh, damn it, it's paywalled.
Oh, for hell's sake.
Rat farts.
Well, we know it didn't work.
Yeah, I just wanted to see what his best score was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, you do get good. You practice at golf, you're going to get, if you're paying attention, you're going to get better.
But the problem is that people think being a scratch golfer means you're a professional, and I'm here to tell you, no.
No one thinks that.
Well,
if you're a scratch golfer,
dumbasses.
You're definitely not a professional.
Yes.
Those guys are like plus 15s.
Yeah, it's
plus
a whole.
Plus 10s.
Because what's your handicap?
I'm a plus 27.
Aren't you like a 2 or something?
Yeah, I don't know. 2 or 3.
Yeah, guess what? You're nowhere near a pro. But there are people that think that. Like, well, if I'm shooting par.
I think the thing you learn when you try to get good at golf and then you're like, take it seriously. It's like, all right, let's see how good I can get.
Yeah.
The thing you learn is that you're only going to get so good.
Yeah.
Because of what you're saying. Yeah. It's like, you just don't have, I don't have.
Yeah.
It's a maddening game because you just keep doing the same thing over and over, and you're getting incrementally better.
Sure, but meanwhile, Bubba Watson, who's never had a lesson, is winning the Masters because.
And you look at a guy like Ricky Fowler, who's like 5'8", 110,
drilling the ball,
and he just bombs it. It's like it's just different.
Or little Brian Harmon out there winning the Open Championship.
Little Brian Harmon, little
waggling his way to a championship.
Bald Brian Harmon.
Yeah, it's just it's a weird thing that sometimes you just run into the realization that it doesn't matter. You're just not meant to do it. LeBron, yes, works really hard, but you know, LeBron was kind of set up for success.
LeBron James.
That's right.
Well, LeBron could have been successful at a lot of things.
Yes.
He's athletic. Golf's a little different. I don't know what I've talked about this a lot with my golf friends. Like, what is it that those guys all have that the rest of us don't? Is it just the eye hand? Is it their ability to keep their just rotate around their body, but it like consistently, like muscle
or
repetition.
Yeah, super fine muscle memory skills.
Yeah, like, I think that's what it is. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, and some of it too.
I don't have it.
When you play, you know, when you learn the game young, I have a buddy of mine who's plays hardly at all. Like he won't play for like 6 months, and then he comes out, picks up a club, and he'll go out and he'll shoot 76. And I'm like, I want to rip your head off. And he's like, he played a lot as a kid.
Well, he's got the fundamentals.
He's got the fundamentals.
Yeah, there's a stat. If you like learn something like that by the age of 12, it'll stick with you.
And
the rest of your
life. And that's what he says. His dad was a pro golfer and a pro caddy, and he just
He's not a pro. I'm talking about like the guy, the Roy. What is Rory McIlroy and all these guys? These guys aren't big guys.
No.
What do they all have in common?
No.
The one thing that I learned just in researching, because it's an interesting question to me, was they all have a swing speed in the same range.
Yeah.
And physically, I cannot swing the golf club the way in their range. Yeah. Like, I cannot. Physically, my body will not allow me to do that. You know, could I get with some plyometric guy
and increase it a little
and
bit?
And increase
sure,
it,
but
yes.
You're not getting
but
there.
I'm just not getting it. No. They just have that.
That's the...
How you discover that, I have no idea.
That's the book I've referenced many times. If you're interested in all, go. It's called The Sports Gene. It's one of the best books you'll ever read or listen to, and it talks about that very thing. The difference between nature and nurture. And the truth of the matter is, to be great, it takes both. But yes, there are those people that they can identify certain traits that if you don't have those, you are not going to be a professional in whatever certain sport. And golf probably is, like you said, it's the swing speed.
All right. Well, anyway, there's hot golf talk. I like to corkscrew that in from time to time.
Yeah, what were we trying to get to again?
Well, it looks like here it says college football playoff musings.
Yeah, that didn't.
That was a little bit adrift of that.
It was. It has been today. It's one of those days, guys.
It's called the weave.
Can we get it back? Tune in next to find out. So Dan, after some research and some help from our roving reporters on the streets, Dan McLaughlin played at Columbia Edgewater. He was the guy trying to do 10,000 hours golf and see how far he could go. His best score was a 74.
Oh, well, so that's a nice score.
It is a nice score. But 10,000 hours.
Nah, that got you 74.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's now
doing something
in the beverage business.
Yeah. Well, good for him. But he's got a great golf game, I'm sure.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, he shoots 74. I'm guessing he's out. You know,
I don't know. Yeah. He might have just hung it up. He's like, this sucks. Golf's maddening. All right. College football playoff musings. We have finally got there, guys.
Headed towards Turdville.
We did it.
We're probably supposed to break in 2 minutes, so I don't know how long these musings
about three.
I see where the SEC still has 8 teams alive for the 12-team playoff.
What an exciting time.
Yeah, but some of those are going to get chopped off. Like, we got Alabama-LSU this week.
That's what I was getting at. So you got, you're going to have a 2-loss SEC team that is likely going to be left out of the tournament.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but most likely.
And if you lose 3, you're, like I said, that's an elimination
game. I mean, 3, you're done. Yeah. 2-loss SEC team could be left out. Mm-hmm. The interesting question is, will the Big 12 only get its champion in?
Yeah.
That and the ACC, really.
Well, I'm very, very confident that if BYU runs the table and goes 12-0 and then loses to, I don't know, Iowa State or Colorado, whatever, right, in the Big 12 title, there's just no way.
Do you believe?
There's no way you're keeping out, because at that point, BYU would be 5th in the country, 6th in the country, and you lose a game that you didn't have to play. It's an extra game. There's no way they're getting out. And at that point, you would get 2 in. But, you know, if BYU has a loss and they go and get bounced in the Big 12 title game, then all of a sudden you got a 2-loss team. That's a little more dicey. But if you are 12-1 and you're in the Power 4, you're in. I don't care what ACC, Big 12, you're in. You're not getting.
So these SEC teams are rooting for BYU and Miami to lose.
Yes, you need losses.
So the games this weekend, if you look at the most important games this weekend with playoff imps, you got a lot of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the beauty of the new format.
And that's why I roll my eyes a little bit when people start doing the, you know, like, I know people are talking about Boise and does Boise get a bye? Just let the GD thing play out, because so many, and we do this even with the 4 team, most of these scenarios get solved in the final month of the season.
Yeah, so tonight.
But we need to yell about it now.
We got to yell now.
Well, not tonight, but this weekend we have Georgia Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. That's
excited for that one.
Ole Miss. Yep. If the Rebels lose, they're out.
They're out.
Georgia loses, and they're on life support.
Yeah, white-knuckling it.
Bama-LSU, that's in Baton Rouge. The loser completely out of the race. Winner stays alive but needs help.
Yep.
Michigan plays at Indiana. The Hoosiers, they got to get to the Big Ten title game.
Yes.
So a loss here would hurt them bad, because they have Ohio State on deck, mm-hmm. and that's in Columbus.
Yes.
So Indiana really needs this one. Yeah.
And if they do, I think Indiana is in a great spot. As long as they don't get blown out, if they beat Michigan, I'll make a bold prediction here. As long as they don't get blown out by Ohio State, they guarantee a spot. Because then that goes back to the, even if they don't make the Big Ten title game, you are 11, or you'd be 11-1.
One loss out of a power conference.
Loss out of a power conference. And if that one loss is to Ohio State, and that's a close loss,
who's either going to be 1 or 2 in the country,
you are in. So this Michigan game is enormous for Indiana.
Then you have Penn State hosting Washington.
Yeah.
Penn State racing to the Big Ten title game. They have to win to get there, so they got to win this game.
Yep.
Colorado is playing at Texas Tech.
And they still have sights on the Big 12 title game.
Buffs have to win to keep pay. They already have 2 losses.
Yeah.
So they cannot lose. They have to get into the Big 12 title game, so they have to win that one. Mm-hmm. BYU is at Utah. If BYU loses, that opens the Big 12 title race wide open, because there are 7 teams within 2 games of them. Mm-hmm. So they have to keep up that lead. Iowa State at Kansas, exact same thing. Only Iowa State's already lost one, so they can't lose. Oklahoma, Missouri. Missouri loses, they're out. Miami plays at Georgia Tech. If Miami loses, that gives SMU the inside track to the ACC title game, because the last 3 for SMU, they're easy.
Mm-hmm.
So SMU is likely going to go undefeated. Now, a Miami loss brings Clemson and Pitt back into play.
Yeah.
in the ACC, because otherwise Miami and SMU, they kind of control their own debt. Like, they're not going to play each other.
Nope.
So they're both undefeated. If they continue that, wait, SMU is undefeated?
No, SMU.
No,
lost
they've lost
to
one.
BYU.
That's right. That's right. Sorry. So SMU needs to win out, and Miami wins out. They're the two in the title game. Yeah. Right.
Because they're both and SMU is undefeated in the conference, which is what matters. So.
But Clemson and Pitt get back into play if Miami loses that game at Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
And Clemson and Pitt play in a few weeks.
That's why.
And that would likely be an elimination
there
game.
There is so many. Of these games that still have to sort themselves out, that I just don't think this is going to be a bunch of controversy. I think at the end of this, when the dust settles, I'm guessing that there are going to be two spots for probably four teams. You're going to have to decide between, again, a two-loss SEC team that didn't make the conference title game, and maybe a one-loss Big 12 or ACC team that didn't win their conference. It's going to be something like that. You're gonna have to decide between four teams for two spots. But I just will never feel bad for anyone that's in that 11 to 12 range, because it's all in your hands. Like, you can't complain if you're not in the 12-team system. I get the four-team. Like, last year, Georgia and Florida State both had legitimate gripes. But this, no. You're not going to get any sympathy from me if you're on the outside looking in.
All right. Coming up next, and hey, we did it. We did it.
We got to it.
College football playoff musings right there on
back
the
back on track, bitches.
That's right. Cocky sniffing all the way to In the News. Mm-hmm. Hey, I have... did you know that there was a presidential election and we have a new president?
Yes, well, not you. We elect. Have a president-elect.
Yes, and he's not new. He's old.
But he's new.
But he's new.
Yeah, but he
Has
is old.
Has anybody ever done that?
Grover Cleveland.
Oh, spoiling my bits.
Oh, I didn't know that was a bit.
Way to go, Buckley.
Well, anyway.
Asked and answered.
Yeah, well.
If someone's finding this out for the first time, they're like, oh my God, we have a president?
Grover, do you think some people are out there just shaking their head at Buckley?
God, Buckley.
Ruined my In the News.
Did you know who is leading the way? Maybe I'll tease this then. Do you know who is, please no answers, who is in the lead for Portland mayor?
Oh, I do know this.
Did you?
Well,
you see this?
I knew it as of last night.
I do knew that.
Yeah. So we'll get to all the election updates, all the latest, next on In the News. Here's Buck.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was one of the great montages we've ever put together. Some of your finest work.
Yeah. I have a lot of tape.
Yeah. Sometimes you just run into them.
Yeah. That's like Bob Marley's greatest hits right there. There's no skips on that. That's banger after banger after banger.
It is January. Wait.
You all right?
It's not January 6th.
No, it is not January 6th. It's November
6th. Why am I thinking January 6th?
You're looking at me?
Hmm.
Hey. All of a sudden, I just want you to know, my plans are wide open January 6th.
Hey, it saved you money.
I got time on my hands
now. You don't have
now.
To fly out there
I'm good
buy
to go.
A bunch of...
I already got that. Don't
tiki
worry.
Torches.
Don't worry about that. I got those in the house. I got those. You think I'm without torches? You fool.
It is November 6th, 2024. It's time for In the News. I'm your Notre Dame's Vanilla. Thank you.
I like turtles.
Today is National Nachos Day.
I love nachos.
Who doesn't? Communist. Yesterday was American Football Day.
Yeah.
You know what today is? Basketball Day.
Eh.
How about that?
Dude, if you had to make a choice between never watching basketball again or never eating nachos again.
Oh, wow.
I hate to say this, but
I'm getting rid of nachos.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, nachos.
I can watch. I'm like Jayhawks. I mean, come on.
Basketball stays.
Yeah. I can do without nachos. I love nachos.
Nachos are great, but there's so many other Mexican cuisine vehicles.
I thought you were going to say if you could eliminate one of the big four American sports, yeah. Which one would you eliminate?
Oh.
Football, basketball, baseball, or hockey?
Well, I'm taking nachos. I love nachos to the point where I'm like, I don't need to watch basketball. I can read about basketball. I'm good. The NBA is unwatchable anyways.
This is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. The electoral count. Donald J. Trump, 291.
That's right.
Kamala Harris, 223.
The one I looked at was 295.
Well, it may have changed.
Yeah.
Because there's a few states left out there. For some reason, Nevada can never
look. It doesn't matter, right? Whether she wins Nevada or not, that's like the Denver Broncos scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl to make it 45-17.
Yeah, the popular vote, more interestingly, I think, is the fact that Trump won the popular vote.
Dominated.
Latest numbers there, 72,188,793 votes.
Yep.
Harris's 67,404,369.
So now can we do away with the Electoral College? Because wasn't that the whole thing before, that the other party couldn't win if we got rid of it?
Hey, I'm all for that.
I am too. Every vote counts the same.
Aren't most
people
all for that?
Oh, God, I certainly hope so. And, you know, this obviously didn't go the way you wanted it to go. I was pretty happy. But, look, when the people speak and, you know, you win the Electoral College and the popular vote, it's like, well, it is what it is. I mean, you won. I mean, that's the whole point of the system. Your guy doesn't always win, and sometimes he does. But what's interesting is, he got 3 million less votes than last time he ran, but she got 15 million less than Biden.
Yep.
Boy, that's an indictment on her. That's an indictment on the left when he does 3 million less and walks away with this thing in a landslide. Yikes.
Buckley spoiled this, but the only other U.S. president to serve non-consecutive terms was Grover Cleveland.
First, by the way, Republican to win the popular vote in 20 years.
1884 and 1892.
Yeah. I don't really know a whole lot about Grover Cleveland, but...
I know nothing.
No. Did he wear hats with both of his numbers? Because I saw the MAGA bros were wearing the Make America Great hats with 45-47.
I saw somebody say that Biden should step down just to make Kamala the 48th for a couple months, so it renders all his 47th for a couple months, so it renders all the swag useless. He'd be 45-48.
Oh, that's pretty petty, but I like it. The 45-47, that is actually incorrect.
Right.
Because the dash would indicate that
it should be slash or ampersand.
Yes, should be slash. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Because the dash indicates...
Because he wasn't 46.
Maybe a comma, if you will.
A comma, if you wanted. No. But the dash indicates that it's 45 through 47, and that is just not true.
According to him, it should be.
Yeah, you know...
I do enjoy that, like, last night at the beginning of it, it's like, massive fraud in Pennsylvania. Eh, never mind. It's fine.
You know, the odds are out for the next president, the 48th president.
Is it Trump again?
Well, let me tell you, he's pretty high on the list. And I don't know if you guys know this, but he is technically not allowed to run again. But
we're
going to
kiss that 22nd Amendment. Bye-bye.
He's still pretty high on the list.
We'll see about that.
Locally, now to the important stuff.
No, yes. You know what that means? We can get a Trump versus Obama and see what happens. Then S will really go down in this country.
Oh, gosh. I will say, I'm, and I know that it's a cheesy thing to say, but my God, hopefully somehow someone can find some common ground, some decency, and we can not have the next 4 years be this pissing contest. Can we try somehow, maybe?
Oh, I don't even suspect we'll try.
All right, well, that's like
I'm with you. I just don't think we will.
I'm just going to keep drinking.
So locally, Keith Wilson, the trucking company owner that we talked about here.
The guy with the homeless plan.
He was the guy with the kind of...
made sense.
Extensive homeless plan that a lot of people were questioning, how are you going to pay for this? Are you really going to do this? He is on track to become our mayor.
Yeah, he's rolling right now.
Yes, he is smoking the field.
Yeah, the only one was at Rubio, the gal... Is that what
I was wondering how they did the whole rank choice thing, and I found out today what they do is they just go by round.
Yeah.
And it eventually gets down to two.
Yeah,
and yes, Carmen Rubio was number two.
Yeah, because everyone else is at at zero. Carmen Rubio's at 37, and our man Keith Wilson's at like almost 63.
Yeah, so blowout city.
Yeah, he's rolling.
Yeah.
And I know nothing about him other than
the homeless plan.
He's got the homeless plan.
See, I think that helped him.
And it
because
looked, and
he
it looked pretty good.
He became known
as the homeless guy.
As just for that. I know nothing else about him other than he seems very reasonable when I see interviews with him.
Yeah.
But he, the homeless plan thing got written up a lot, and that's all, I mean, that's all
yeah.
that was out there about well, him.
A lot of times people end up being one issue voters, right? Whatever that is. And He struck a nerve with people, and he's running
a
away
chord,
with this thing.
If you will.
Yeah.
Had he struck a nerve, he probably wouldn't be voted in.
Well, that's true.
He struck a chord.
He struck a chord.
Now, up in your neck of the woods, we have a new governor. Mm-hmm. His name is Bob Ferguson.
That's right. Bob Ferguson looks exactly like what you think a Democrat from Washington named Bob Ferguson would look like. He just...
Bobby!
He looks a little bit. He looks a little bit like John Kroger. Remember, Hero of Men, John Kroger. Like if John Kroger went a little bit of a soy, you'd have Bob Ferguson.
He beats Bob Reichert 56-43. The real question about Bob Ferguson is: can he figure out what's going on with the Mariners?
Ooh, yeah. Can he step in and do something about that? Can he find them someone? Do you think Bob can find a power hitting first baseman?
Is that you possible? Out of your mind?
What else do I have here for you?
Bob, I think, was the attorney general. Was he not? I think. Now he's the governor.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Janelle Bynum. So this is House of Representatives, Oregon, District 5. This is a hotly contested race. Janelle Bynum, the Democrat, 47.71% to Lori Chavez Dreamer's 45.45%.
That was close.
Well, it's not over.
No.
They're only at 69% there. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Oh, Marie Perez v. Joe Kent. That is Washington,
yes.
House of Representatives, District 3. Marie Perez leading 51.97% to Joe Kent's 48%, mm-hmm. and that is with 75% reported.
Yeah,
so that's the latest on that.
Yeah, that was updated, just a few
10 minutes ago.
Yeah, 10 minutes ago. Because stuff changes so quick when you get the big ballot dumps in.
Then we have, there was one other one I was going to tell you
does
about.
Does it take so long in Oregon and Washington just because of the mail-in votes, right?
I'm guessing so.
Yeah. Well, we don't have the answers to any of these.
Oh, we have ballot measure news. I don't know if you guys had a lot of any good ballot measures up there.
I looked through the ones in Washington, and most of the stuff was pretty procedural. I didn't see anything that was that really jumped out at me as defining.
In Oregon, they voted yes on the impeachment of elected state executives. I
that?
Believe I voted yes on that, too.
Okay.
Get rid of their ass. They F up, you're out of here.
You gotta
take a hike.
That's right. Get out of here.
Accountability.
The only big one I remember is we were voting to raise the pay for sheriffs over there in Washington.
Yeah, we had that one too.
I remember that. We're trying to get an 8% pay raise.
Ranked choice voting, they voted down.
Yeah, I find that to be weird.
Yeah, by 60 to 40.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did that.
Do people find it too complicated for some stupid reason?
Yes, probably.
Like it's too hard to wrap your head around. The other way is just simpler.
I kind of enjoy the ranked choice voting because, you know, it's like it prevents the spoiler candidate.
Yeah,
that's right.
I totally agree. I think that's why it makes sense and why it's on the ballot. But I feel like conceptually, maybe just a little too far of a reach.
Probably.
How about the resident rebates from corporate tax increases? Measure 118. Fail.
Boo.
79%.
Is that good or bad? I don't know.
Well, I'm surprised it failed. Like, usually we like to tax the corporations here.
Tax the rich.
They're saying no. 79% to 21% failed miserably. And then we have cannabis unions. Yes.
Oh.
55% to 46%.
I saw Florida did not legalize weed.
45%.
They voted down weed.
Did they really?
Imagine if Florida is voting down legalized
marijuana.
Why would
they do that?
I don't know. It's 2024, for God's sake.
What a bunch of boobs.
Yeah. Oh, the other one I remember in Washington is, I think we passed it. We have to have access to natural gas. You can't be coming for our gas stoves. That was that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Remember that was the whole thing?
Yeah, pissing moms off.
Yeah, pissing moms off.
All across the land.
You know the thing about Florida is over 50% of people wanted to approve weed, but they needed a 60% vote to get it.
Why?
I don't know. They got 57% though.
Yeah. So the stickiest of the icky, still a no-go. Although at this point, dude, if you get caught with weed, what is the... What are they like... They write you like a $12 ticket? Does anyone really get in trouble for smoking weed at this point?
Going to jail.
Like, seriously. I get it if you're like selling like hundreds of pounds of weed, but you're telling me if
Nate Newton style?
You're telling me that if I'm in Tampa and I'm rolling one up, like on my way to, I don't know, like, you know, one of the many establishments that Tampa has, and maybe like Crystal Palace, you're telling me that I'm going to jail with a, I mean, come on.
Yeah, put him in jail!
It's ridiculous.
I think that's it.
Mons Venus, maybe. I was trying to think of all the... It's been a long time. You think we have a lot of strip clubs. Go to Tampa.
Well, we're supposed to have the most per capita, right? Is that true anymore?
I don't know. I just know in Tampa, like, there wasn't a grocery store within, like, 10 minutes of me, but there was, like, 6 strip clubs. Dude, those things are everywhere.
They lost me when they closed Jiggles for a Cabela's.
It's just not the same. Gentrification,
what
man.
What world are we living
what
in?
What are we doing? Like, we need an affordable outdoor clothing supplier as opposed to a juice bar. An 18 strip club where you can go in and get a $12 apple juice and stare at some uptops. And the commercial, what was it? The best wiggles are at Jiggle.
That's right. It's no, a good slogan.
No, they're not.
Well, sometimes they were. Sometimes they weren't. Are your balls jiggling? Depends.
It was. It was a grab bag.
And that's kind of the fun of a place that like is, that. Is, let's see what's going on in there tonight. Ooh. He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hogs. Sometimes it's like the Alonzo Mourning meme.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, disgusting.
Look, I'm going to go out on a limb and tell, and I don't know if this is a controversial statement, but.
Probably is.
Bad strip clubs, way better than good strip clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More goes down.
Yeah. If you tell me there's one that's all professional and like well lit.
Well, that's like the really nice ones in Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, dude.
No.
First of all, they're getting in your like, you don't have enough money.
No.
And second, they're so pro. Like, it's like. It's not fun.
Give me one where you walk in and you're not even certain what's happening. You just like you just see you walk in immediately. There's just everything is suspicious. It's
like the one I went to in Dallas where there were no ashtrays. They just said, you know, drop your cigarette on the floor. Yeah. I was like, wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hell
yeah. My buddy got his teeth knocked out later that night in the parking lot.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's
by a stripper.
No, he just was randomly assaulted by an individual.
America, yeah.
That's the kind of strip club experience that we should all strive for.
All right. Up next, a new remedy for your Pacific Northwest winter blues. This is In the News on The Fan.
I want to run.
Okay, we have already, our research team has already done some homework on this Heather Dinich bullsh.
She's technically right, but it's a disingenuous stat.
We'll get to that at 5:15.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, we live in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes, we do.
Gets a little...
The upper left, as I like to call it.
Upper left. Gets a little depressing up here in the winter,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
So it's seasonal affective disorder. Sad. Bodies fall out of Hirsch's. Seasonal affective disorder.
And that's also what you got by going to Jiggles, by the way, is seasonal depression. You're like, oh my God.
Now researchers at the University of Washington have identified a potential new strategy for treating the winter blues.
Going to Mexico.
The causes of SAD are not fully understood, but one leading idea is called the phase shift hypothesis. It suggests that when the days get shorter, your body's natural circadian rhythms get out of whack. The lack of synchronization between your internal clock and the planet's clock can cause symptoms of depression. People with SAD are often prescribed morning light therapy, where they surround themselves with bright blue-hued light, which helps resync the body with the sun.
Did people not know this? Like, I feel like this is kind of...
Old news?
Old news.
Well, I'm not done yet.
New research?
The light then triggers a photopigment in your eye, suppressing the production of melatonin, which is the sleepy time hormone. So that is what we know. Okay, but the UW scientists are looking at light therapy from another angle. Instead of targeting the blue light receptor, they used alternating blue and orange light, similar to the colors of the sunshine. My God, I cannot speak.
The sunshine?
The sunshine, to target another far more sensitive receptor in the eye. They tested the different kinds of lights on 6 test subjects and found that the blue-orange was able to shift the body's clock an hour and 20 minutes, twice as much as blue light alone. The researchers say their findings provide a new avenue to explore in designing indoor lighting that helps people maintain a healthier internal clock.
Well, there
you go. Scientists better check their hypotenuses.
There's the new twist on that, because I know light therapy in winter is a thing.
Now, do you do that, light therapy in the winter?
I do. I go to my gym has a tanning bed, and like once a week I'll go in there during the winter and get a little zap, and then like some of the infrared light. So I do that once in a while in the winter, and then again I try to get out and go to Mexico when I can. But yeah, it's a thing. There was a book, I think it was called Younger Next Year, and I don't know, the guy that wrote it's a scientist, but God, I don't know if this is universally true, but he talked about how depression in the winter was actually a survival tool that our bodies had, because back in the olden days, when the winter hit, we were snowed in, and so during the summer, when you had sunlight, you had to get up and move and gather and hunt so that you could survive the winter. Well, when the winter hit and you were hunkered in, you did not want your body burning and metabolizing things. You wanted everything to slow down.
You wanted to be lethargic and all that.
It was basically a human hibernation to get you through the winter.
It's like bears.
Yes. So when the cold and the dark hits, that is your body actually doing what it's supposed to do. And so he talked about in this book that during the winter, you have to find ways to tell your body it is not winter, it is summer. Get your ass up and get moving.
Okay.
And that was, it made sense to me. And yeah, but... I'm sure there's someone else with an exact opposite hypothesis.
Right. That's your In the News, November 6, 2024, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. We got the Hot 5 at 5 coming up next on The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.